very excited to be joined now by a 21-time winner on the PGA Tour, a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. Been there and done that is pretty much what you would say about Lanny Watkins. Lanny, welcome back to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, John. I'm a little chilly, but I'm trying to drink something that will warm me up here in short order.
Well, I don't blame you one bit. I know you were out watching your son play the second stage of Q School today. Windy and cold. It's actually snowing here by your alma mater at the moment. So,
that doesn't sound good. Well, it was high of about 46 or 7 and wind blowing 25. So those kids had a cold day out there. And old dad that was following but froze his tush off. So
did you walk all 18?
I walked all 18. So
you're a good father.
I didn't do him any good. He didn't play very well. Hopefully he'll play better tomorrow.
Yeah, it's 4 days. He can certainly battle that back. I had you on early last spring when it was announced that you were going back to the television booth. You spent the summer and the fall on the airwaves for the Golf Channel covering the Champions Tour. Every time I tuned in, Lanny, it sounded like you were having a good time up there. How was your first full year back?
We had a blast. I am really fortunate. I stepped into a great situation with a bunch of good guys. I mean, I'm working with John Mahaffey, who I've known since college, and won the PGA Championship the year after I did. Who's a great friend and knows golf inside out. So he's very entertaining and knows what he's talking about. And then I got Billy Ray Brown on course, who was a five-time winner on tour and really knows his stuff. And Billy Ray, as you know, is just a delight to always be around, no matter what he's doing. And then, Dave Mars is terrific. And, we worked with Bob Papa and Brian Hammonds were the two play-by-play guys this year. So we had a really nice, tight team, and we all enjoyed each other. We enjoyed each other's company, both at the course, at dinners, and everything else. So all in all, it was a very, very nice year.
But not only that, it was a hell of a nice year on the Champions Tour as well. I mean, great competition. It seemed like everybody stayed healthy this year for whatever reason. The names that you want to play well out there played well, like Freddie, Bernhard Langer, obviously Kenny Perry had a great year, Tom Lehman. All of those guys are doing what you hope that they'll do that give you a little bit easier stories to tell, I think.
Well, they do. Especially when you're talking about guys like that have won the quality of tournaments that they've won, major champions. It was nice to see Freddie finally get a win at the end of the year, and he dominated at the Schwab Cup Championship. He just played, outstanding golf. Then we had a great storyline with Craig Stadler coming back and winning a tournament after, so many years, and always fun to see Stads play well. And had I think four or five rookie winners this year, which was pretty good. Guys that came out and made their mark, so that was nice. And, in my estimation, Kenny Perry played fantastic all year. Bernhard Langer, though, I mean, stop and think about this. He had something like 18 or 19 top 10s this year. I mean, he's a relentless machine. And if he hadn't had some struggles on second nines last days this year, I mean, he could have won 6-7 events. So, all in all, we had a really entertaining year. A lot of high quality golf and well played tournaments, and so I'm looking forward to more next year. I actually, after this weather today in Dallas, I can't wait to get to Hualalai on the Big Island of Hawaii in January.
Yeah, I'll guarantee it. Is Billy Ray going down for a month again? Do you know?
Oh well, who knows? I mean, Billy Ray, he's, if anybody tips him over, he may not get up for a while anyway. So he's he's a delight to have around. I mean, he's he knows golf inside out. And the good thing about Billy Ray, when you're talking an on-course guy, because he's out there with him, he's got such a great personality and has such a good rapport with Freddie and Kenny Perry and Bernhard Langer and all these guys week in, week out. They're not afraid to come and talk to him. Because, honestly, as a player, I worry about the walk and talks that we do on Champions Tour.
Right.
I think sometimes they can be a little intrusive. But, Billy Ray knows golf so well. He knows how to say the right things. These guys don't mind responding. And I think there's a trick to that, and he handles it extremely well. So it's it really works. I think the TV part with the Champions Tour is really entertaining.
Yeah, I think what you're trying to say there is that Billy doesn't ask any questions. Billy Ray Brown doesn't ask any questions of a guy on the golf course that will get that guy in his own head.
I think that's a good thing. I mean, I know I was when I first came on the Champions Tour, I was not. You know, I did some walking talks, but I wasn't. You know, I'm like I was one of the guys. Leave me alone. You know, I had to get in my little mean mode to play. So, you know, and everybody has to play the way they play best. I mean, we all can't be Fuzzy Zeller or Lee Trevino. You've got to play golf the way you can perform best when you're out there. I mean, Bernhard Langer, for example, is going to take more time than just more time than any human's ever played to hit the ball. But that's his routine, and you know, and the only time he gets flustered is when they put him on the clock and he gets out of that routine. So you know, he's got to figure out a way to step that up, but. You know, I made the comment one time we were watching Bernhard checking the wind, and Billy Ray said, "Lanny, I think he's waiting for the wind to change." I said, "No, he's not. He's waiting for a new frontal system to come in."
I'm trying to figure out the exact right words to ask this question. You just mentioned you had to play mean. You were an intimidating presence in professional golf for a long time. I mean, for 2.5 decades. You were that guy. You and Raymond Floyd, you had that stare that, you know, I grew up watching and thought that I had to be mean to play the way that you guys played. It is contrary to your personality, at least when I finally met you in the mid-90s. Would you say that your personality evolved or that you were a different person on the golf course than you were after you got finished?
I think I'm a different person on the golf course. I think when I get on the golf course, I just get so intense. I want to do well. I want to win. I really want to compete. I don't tolerate poor shots and mistakes very well. I mean, you mentioned Raymond Floyd. I would say Hale Irwin would be another one that would come to mind. Hale plays the same way. Very, very intense. You know, no, you just don't put up with any crap. You're going to go play the game, and here it is, and it's very old school. It's back to Hogan and Snead, that kind of, you know, those guys didn't, you know, it's like I used to play golf with Hogan. I played probably 15 rounds with Ben Hogan, and we were cutting some jokes one time, and he looked at us and said, "Boys, I don't like to play jolly golf." So, I mean, and that's kind of the essence of it. You know, when I was playing, I didn't play jolly golf. Now, I would have a lot of fun in practice rounds and off the course and stuff like that, and, you know, like to have a big time as much as anybody. But, you know, when I'm in the heat, and I think that, you know, for whatever reason, people say it may have made us intimidating, but when Raymond and Hale and myself, and I kind of lumped the three of us together because I think our demeanor on the course was very similar. We were intense, and we were, you know, we intended on getting the job done, and for the most part, we did.
Yeah, no question. That is awfully good company. There's no question about it. There is, you mentioned your relationship with Mr. Hogan. Part of the great story behind the one iron lore involves you and the fact that you were the one who got the one iron and into Mr. Hogan's hands and for him to confirm that that was the actual one iron that he hit at Marion. How much of that story is true? Tell us in your words.
Well, I've gotten a kick out of reading other versions because, I mean, I know what happened. Jackie Murdoch, who was a former basketball coach at Wake Forest University and was a former All-American basketball player at Wake, called me up and said, "Lanny, I'd known Jackie from our associations through Wake Forest, said, "Lanny, I think I've got the one iron that was stolen from Ben's bag before the playoff at Marion, I think it was 52. He was in a playoff with George Fazio and Lloyd Mangrum. And, and then he won, he hit the one iron to 18 to make 40 on the playoff. And the one iron was stolen from his bag either the night before. Some people think it was stolen out of the bag on the way to the locker room. And he left his clubs in the locker room. Well, Jackie said that he had found it in a pawn shop in Raleigh, was my understanding. So I said, "Well, Jackie," I said, "tell you what, I see Ben on a pretty regular basis. Send it to me, and I will take it over and take a look." So he sent the club to me at my house. I had it sitting in my house for about 2 or 3 days, and I looked at it, and as soon as I saw it, I knew it was Ben's because it still had the original grip on it. And Ben's grips were very, very distinctive. They were essentially round grips, but they had a piece of cord in the grip that taped to the shaft at a certain degree where it fit in his left, the crook of his fingers in his left hand. And it would not have been, if you're looking at a club up and down, it would not have been 6 o'clock. It would have been about 4 o'clock that cord sat at. And I've never seen any other grips like that, and they were cord. And when I saw the grip, I knew right away, because I played with Ben a number of times, it was Ben's club. And so I called him and said, hey, I've got to be at the factory to do something. I think I've got something you might want to see. And he said, well, come on over. So I went to the factory in Fort Worth a couple of days later, and I walked in his office, and I handed him the one. I said, I've got something here I think belongs to you. And he grabbed it, and he gripped it and looked at it and said, I haven't seen this in a long, long time. And that was it. So I literally handed it to him. Whatever other stories you've seen, I can tell you, I handed it to him myself. And Jackie Murdoch has a very nice thank you letter from Ben Hogan stating the fact. And I don't know what he did for Jackie, whether he sent him his other clubs or whatever, but I know that he, you know, was in contact with Jackie thanking him for getting the club to me.
I've been a Hogan fan since before I could break 80, which is ironic because I can barely break 80 now. But
I know the feeling.
Well, you better be working on your game. You've got a little tournament coming up in a couple of weeks.
I am. I've actually started playing. I went down and, you know, for me to play, I had to go down. I just last Thursday, I got an epidural and an SI joint injection. I mean, for God, I said 6 back surgeries. I've got to do that to be able to play. So that'll make me good for about 3 months. And then I'm playing the father's son in Orlando with my youngest son, Tucker, which is a real treat for me. So I can't wait to do that. And the cool thing is, if we play well, we've got a chance. If one of us gets a hot putter, because Tucker has enough length to combat the Davis Loves and BJ Sings, and, you know, puts us out there where the big boys are. I don't, but he does.
Well, looking at the field this year, you'd almost have to say Davis and Drew Love are as good.
Well, they're defending champions, so they won last year and they played well. And don't count. VJ and Cass Singh have been in there every year, and I don't know what it is about the Nelson boys, but they're in it every year as well. They make a run at it, and, you know, Larry can still make birdies and bunches, and he's playing with, I think, Josh this year, who really hits it a long way. So, so it's interesting. I tell you who's got the biggest advantage is Bernhard Langer, because Bernhard plays with his daughter, and they're way up on the front tees, and she hits the crap out of it. She's way out there. I mean, she passed everybody off the tee.
You can't protest that either, can you?
I try, but I've already mentioned to Bernhard that I thought he was, you know, taking unfair advantage of us with having his daughter play up there, and he just laughed at me. So,
what's it like? I mean, the tournament went away for a few years. It was gone for 4 years. It came back last year. It's for the listeners that don't know, it's for major championship winners to bring a child with them and play. It's on NBC Golf Channel. It's such a cool thing to see. What's it mean? What did it mean for you when it came back and to get
played? It's just unbelievable. I mean, for me to be in the field is outstanding. I mean, you know, the more majors the dad has won, the more he's qualified to play. And then, the second they count the players as a major going towards that. So, in essence, he gives me 2. Then, so if I'm tied with Curtis Strange or Mark O'Meara or whoever, you know, I've got then the next step is how many tournaments you've won. So I jump ahead of some guys with that. So, and I really wanted to play with Tucker at least a couple, 3 times, because I got to play with my youngest son and the other one, Travis, the one that's in Q school, he and I played 4 or 5 times. So I'm just trying to even things up. And the fact that Tucker and I get to play this time, we played last year and we didn't make any putts. In fact, he caddied for me in the senior PGA this year, which is the only tournament I played in the last 18 months, well, since last year's father's son. And Tucker watched me putt. I made the cut for a guy who doesn't play. You understand, that was a big deal. So he looked at me and said, Dad, we got number one, we got to fix your putting. And number two, you're not putting second this year. I am. So my 21-year-old has already shoved me to the forefront. I'm going to go first so he can see the line.
it It just has to be the coolest thing. I mean, for all you accomplished in the game, I would think that that moment walking down the fairway with one of your boys just has to be as cool as it gets.
Well, all you got to do is look at the dads that are playing. I mean, the dads that would not miss it, from Hale Irwin and Jack Nicklaus and Raymond Floyd. And, I mean, Raymond hadn't played since this tournament last year. And me, and I mean, I just don't, you know, Larry Nelson, all the dads that won majors, Mark O'Meara and Curtis Strange. I mean, it's incredible. And I mean, you know, we can't wait to play. We just wish it was a 4-day tournament instead of 2 days.
Yeah, it is very cool. I was, when we were talking about Mr. Hogan, I wanted to ask you. I read Chris Cheddar's book. I thought it was really interesting about what it was like to have Mr. Hogan as a mentor. What was your relationship with him like, and what was some of the misconceptions about him publicly that you got to know about him?
The biggest misconception is that he was a hard man to be around and a grump. My wife Penny and I have had dinner with he and Valerie probably 3 or 4 times, and Penny had a great observation. She said she thought that Ben Hogan was more a shy person. He was embarrassed by all the adulation, you know, when we'd be at a Hogan company function or whatever, you know, and people, he would, oh, shucks, gosh, gee. And, I mean, playing with him, he was delightful. I mean, we had a lot of good times playing golf. I got a kick out of it because we always played at Shady Oaks, and, I mean, you know, and he didn't want to walk any extra steps back then. So when he stepped out of the cart, it was onto the green, literally. And he'd park in the middle of the tee and tee off thanks to his cart. I mean, I love that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, he kind of ran the show, but he was an amazing player even in this. He would have been in his 60s when I was playing with him. And to see the quality of shots he was hitting even then was impressive. So we always had money games. That's one of the great stories. And it's in my Hall of Fame exhibit, is a check from Ben Hogan for $4. We were playing a skins game one time at Shady Oaks, and it's three of us playing. The other fourth couldn't make it. Imagine a guy not being able to make a game with Hogan. But anyway, we were playing a skins game. We're on about the 14th to 15th hole at Shady Oaks, and this guy rides up in a cart, and he had two things going for him that Ben didn't like on golf courses. He had a beard, and he had on shorts. And he said, I'm going to join you guys the rest of the way in, which, you know, I was kind of shocked by. But Ben looked at me and said, are you ready to go, Lanny? I said, I'm with you. And we drove off, left him sitting there. And so we go back, and before I drove back to Dallas, I always had to have a little clear drink with him. And then about 2 days later, I get a check in the mail. I was 2 skins up at the time, $2 skins, so I got my check for $4. And so that check with the story about that is in the Hall of Fame.
That is fantastic stuff. Lanny, I guess right after the first of the year, you're headed to Hawaii. Are you going to do the full complement of Champions Tour events next year?
I am. I did 22 this year, and I'll be doing 22 plus anything else we have next year. So probably at least 22 next year we start. I think Penny and I are flying over to – we're going early and staying late at Hualalai. We're leaving January 10th, heading over and going to make it a 10-day trip. So I love that coast. I used to represent Mauna on that coast for 8 years, so we love that part of Hawaii, and I can't wait to get back. But I'll be doing that. The other thing I'm doing, which I'm really excited about, I've been told that I'm going to be the lead analyst on the NCAA coverage that we're doing at Golf Channel.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really excited about that. I'm still a – you know, and I think with my boys, you know, Travis having played at Wake Forest, a couple of years with Webb Simpson, and, you know, played very well there. I've stayed in touch watching the college game, and with Tucker at Arizona right now, I'm kind of aware of who's going on and what's going with the players. I go watch Tucker play in tournaments and things like that, and I'll try and watch him play some this spring and get to as many of his as I can to kind of get a sampling of who's doing what. And if for some reason Arizona doesn't make it to the NCAAs, it may take Tucker along to give me some background on who the players are. So that may be kind of cool as well. And we're playing at Prairie Dunes in Hutchinson, Kansas, and I played a senior U.S. Open there, so I'm looking forward to going back.
Do you like the format? Do you like the match play? No, you're,
you know, I do and I don't. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that, yeah, I mean, it's match play is great. I do think the best test is always medal play, but match play is exciting, and I think the kids love the fact that they get to match play.